Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven, an author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. Hey, and welcome to this week's episode of Adulting with Ebony. Today, I am joined by Persia Lawson, who is an author, a speaker, a millennial dating expert, and one of the UK's most successful love coaches, according to The Times magazine. Having once been a serial cheater and obsessive love addict, she's proud to now be in a healthy, committed relationship and is passionate about helping women heal and improve their own love lives via her online coaching program, Get Your Soulmate. Hey, Persia.
Hello.
Thanks so much for joining me.
Oh, thanks for having me. What an honour.
Oh, I'm one of those people that's been lurking in your kind of, in the periphery of your online world since
that's sexy. I'm a lurker.
Yeah, I'm a lurker and have been, like, you know, since Addictive Daughter days, like a long time ago, and like you have evolved and things have changed, and you've kind of grown into yourself online in some way. And I guess from that perspective, what does adulting mean for you?
Oh gosh, the first thing that came in my head when I actually saw the name of the podcast, Adulting, and it's not going to sound that sexy, but it's definitely been my experience. It is taking responsibility. Yeah. Which is not something that I have enjoyed doing for most of my life, because I just rather sort of have fun and ignore things that didn't seem that fun or that felt a little bit too serious. And adulting has meant in every area of my life, I've had to look at it. I've had to face some rather unsavory shit and I've had to just be honest. And so, yeah, I would say without a shadow of a doubt, if it had to be one thing, taking responsibility, and actually you said this before we kind of started recording, I also, like, I never wanted to lose the sort of free-spirited side of myself, because I love that part of myself. I just wanted to find a way for it to not be quite so toxic and destructive, and I actually feel that I'm definitely close to being there with that. It's having both of the energies, because otherwise it's really quite fucking boring if all you're doing is taking response. Do you know what I mean? If you're in that kind of serious energy, I definitely feel you need the yin and the yang.
I love that you said that, and I agree wholeheartedly. And I think whatever you use to describe those energies, whether it's yin yang, masculine feminine, warrior healer, like whatever you're using, we have to have both those things, because otherwise it's like really heavy or too light. I've been doing a lot of work actually around, particularly for some reason at the moment, there's stuff around like light and dark, or like being really, a lot of my clients are in a really light and spiritual place right now where everything's blissful and amazing, but they're completely fucking untethered, right? And it's not grounded in, like, and they're coming to me and they're like, you do a really good job of grounding me, please ground me. And I think like in some way, adulting in the way that I mean it is really about finding that balance or the right ratios of those different parts of yourself so that you can enjoy it. And almost like the structure of responsibility gives you space to be free.
Yes. Yes. Like, oh my God. Yes. I could not have said that better myself. Like, it really is. It's having the structure. It's having those things in place so that you can then have that sort of free-spirited expansiveness, playfulness, all of those things. But without, like you said, before I didn't have the grounding and I didn't have the anchoring. And so I was just like, whoosh, you know, like off like a bloody firework. Yeah. And that doesn't work. And it does, as I said before, it doesn't work to just do all the heavy, serious stuff. Like, you need both of the energies. Yeah. And I think that's really what my life, I've realized, is like every day incorporating both of those things, having my grounding practices and tools, and then having the playful side of it. Otherwise, you know, it's just life can either become too heavy and too boring and too serious, or as I said, it can just become a bit of a fucking mess.
Yeah, do you know what? I really love to talk to you about this and relationships, right? Mm-hmm. So my, how do I say this? What's the best way of saying it? So we had, I believe we have a predisposition for one or the other, right? Like we can either be someone who tends to take life too seriously and is quite like full on responsible. I can feel my eyebrows furrowing. You can't see it, but you know,
yeah.
Or we're like really, really free and fluffy and playful and like, so fun, right? So fun. Okay. Now my experience in dating, and around those energies and the archetypes of it has been very interesting, right? Like my experience for such a long time was that I believed that men wanted from, and I'm talking heterosexual norm, or heteronormative relationships in this instance, just because I'm talking about myself here. But if we, like, I believed, I had this story running that men wanted fluffy, playful, non-committal, like no heaviness, like, you know, I don't take life too, someone who doesn't take their life too seriously, all of that kind of stuff. And that just brought out the part of me that was like, where are the grown-ups? Where are they?
Yeah.
And actually being for what I could see from that place is like, can you not see that if you're in a committed, grounded, contracted relationship, we can have way more fun and playfulness than we could if we're not committing or seeing each other? Does that make sense to you?
Oh my God. Absolutely. And that, I mean, that is probably the best I've ever heard it said, better than I've said it, certainly. That is my experience of my relationship with my boyfriend, Joe. Absolutely. We've just moved into a new place that we're renting because we, do you know what? Oh my God, this is so relevant. We've been off like basically traveling the world for, and living like nomads for a year and a half, which has been amazing. And it's been freeing and it's been spontaneous, but it has been fucking hard in its own way.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for us, we're like, right, we need a base. And, you know, with that comes responsibility, comes money, needing money and finances and all of those things in place, which we didn't need of in the same way before. But we, you know, we really know about ourselves. Traveling is such an important thing, but we also like, we need to have a base. We need to have that structure. And you know what I mean? To have both of them. What you made me think of when you were saying, what you were saying just before as well, the way I think of this, and I think, yeah, I'm pretty sure we share about this in our book, The Inner Fix. It's farmers and sailors. So they're, you know, again, generalizations, but people will be predispositioned to one or the other. And this is a really useful thing to understand about yourself and to understand about if you're dating someone, what they are, because it kind of makes you understand, right, how can we come into balance with this? So I am naturally a sailor character type. There's a lot of great things about that. Risk taker, adventurer, fun loving, spontaneous, all of these things. My father, total sailor. Like instinctively. The negative sides of being a sailor might be a bit flaky, not great with commitment, not always that loyal or trustworthy, scatty, flaky.
Yeah.
Then you've got the farmer. The farmer is great qualities, loyal, trustworthy, you know, grounded, anchoring, routine, reliable, like all of these great things, are productive. But the negative sides of a farmer energy when you're in that too much might be that you are you play it safe too much. You might not be as not necessarily great at taking risks or adventure. Sometimes you might be a bit clingy or a bit controlling. And it's not to say that you know, obviously we mix in both of those, but we definitely, like I've definitely seen with all my clients and my friends and my partners, we have a predisposition to one. So within myself, I had to really work on my farmer traits, the good things from farmer traits, because I was too far a sailor. And so I couldn't ever have a healthy relationship when I was just totally in sailor land, sailing to a new relationship constantly, lover on every continent sort of vibe. And, you know, within my partnership, my boyfriend Joe he's definitely a sailor, but, and all of my boyfriends were sailors, but they were too far the extreme. And so they were useless at commitment, as was I. So it was all over the place. But Joe, whilst he loves adventure, traveling, all of these things, he's also got such a farmer in him. He loves his family. He's loyal. He's committed. Mm. He's trustworthy. He's reliable. And this is what I've really seen. It's a really fun way to look at what, apparently this is the focus today. We didn't know what it was going to be. Looking at the energies and balance in relationships, which is so important.
Well, and it really is, right? So I'd love your take on this. There's two different things that I think are essential for a relationship to work, or that I'm seeking, right, at the moment, actually, in relationship, is polarity and harmony, right? So first, like, we have, in order to create the safety of a relationship, we need harmony. I need to trust you, you need to trust me.
Yes.
We both need to know, for my personality type, we both need to know that we are both free and that it's committed, right? So that
we're safe
and that we can be free. And then I also want to fancy the pants off you and vice versa. So there has to be polarity.
Yes.
Talk to me about
this. Oh my God. I love this conversation so much. Oh my God. Yes. There's kind of two ways we can go with this. So the first thing that I was thinking of was, you know, just the simple idea of having enough in common that there's mutual ground and you connect with each other and understand each other, but you have enough differences that you know, there's excitement and you're challenged and all those things. I call this, you can tell I've spent time in Asia, same but different. Same, but different.
Yeah.
So do you see what I mean? It's like, you don't want to be, so that's why, you know, you often will get a farmer and a sailor together, and that can really work. You can absolutely have two sailors together, but if you're going to have that, you definitely need to be two people who have worked on themselves enough that they know that they are working on the farmer quality. Do you see what I mean? You need to embrace all of it. But yeah, what I realized is, like, I had so much passion and sexual desire in a relationship because this, like, basically there was either I was cheating on them or they were cheating on me or whatever was going on, so that when you came together it had to, that's kind of all you had, really, if you're honest. But that doesn't work, that's not sustainable, and you cannot focus on anything else in your life because your emotions are all over the place and it's exhausting. I mean, we've all been there. Then there's the other side where you trust each other and you've got that support and everything, but it's a bit boring because they don't really inspire you. Maybe you don't inspire them. There's no growth and there's no evolution and there's no sort of challenge. So what I realized, it's like, I kind of wanted to have the good bits of the bad boy with the good bits of the safe boy. Do you know what I mean? And I basically have got that. I got really clear that that's what I wanted. I wanted a guy like, you know, Joe, he's not your average sort of, how can I say that? I've got to be careful here. Look, let's just say it this way. From the childhood I had and the past I had, I was probably never going to end up with Mr., you know, like, you know, what, oh God, how can I put this? Mr. Safe, like 100% safe in that, you know, squeaky clean.
Yeah.
I did try it. Didn't work for me. I needed something a bit zesty. So for some women, Joe may be a bit too spicy because he's a fun loving guy. He's a big character. When we're traveling, he will go up to speak to anyone. Like, where were we? We were just in Costa Rica and he became best friends with the guy selling coconuts, to the point where he's like, I think I want to become a coconut man. He got really excited by that. He's just so much fun to travel with. And he's so spontaneous. And I needed that for me. I needed someone who kind of was just pushed the boundaries a little bit, but someone I also knew I could rely on and that was safe. That was what was right for me. And I think it's really important to get clear. And it sounds like you are so clear on, like, what are my core desired feelings? Something that Danielle Laporte talks a lot about. Core desired feelings in my own life, but core desired feelings inside a relationship. Yeah. Like you said, one of the most important things for me, freedom. I have got to feel free. Like, I haven't really had controlling boyfriends. I've coached a lot of women where they've had really controlling, jealous boyfriends who tell them what to wear and all sorts of things. I've not had that because those sorts of guys would never have been attracted to me. They would have been like, fuck that. She's not going to be controlled. I've definitely struggled with being a little bit naggy and controlling in my relationships myself. And I definitely have attracted guys who kind of hate it, but also love it. Like, they like me because I'm quite a challenge. My mother is a strong, challenging woman. And that's why, and my dad's like, that's exactly what I needed, because I would have walked all over her. Like, any woman who kind of let me get away with shit, because that's what my dad was like. So I think it's just, it's about being open-minded and just being honest with yourself about what's right for you, and realizing, you know, in the world of wellness, it can be like quite a scary thing, because we think, I need someone who's really healthy and conscious. there are many ways that that could look. You know, my boyfriend is not, he doesn't go to the gym 5 times a week, or he's not in a yoga class 5 times a week. He doesn't drink green smoothies. But he's probably the healthiest. He's probably got the most, he's most mentally healthy person I know. It just looks a bit different to, you know, your kind of cardboard Lululemon sort of cut out of what we think a healthy person or a healthy, even a healthy relationship to a degree, because it's about, I wanted to have a relationship that feels like me. Feels like me, not what I think it should be.
And would you say then, if someone is in this place of either not being in a relationship and wanting one, or being in a relationship where the polarity or the harmony isn't as they want it to be, would you say that that first step is like, so because so many people are like, it's not working, right? For in my world, that's like, great, step one, awareness, right? Like, the next step is, what do you want? And get really specific. Would you agree on that?
Yes. Absolutely. I mean, yeah, totally. I totally agree with you. It's so simple. It's like awareness. This isn't working. Okay. Dig that, because it's our first instinct is to go, this isn't working. If only, and look, I still do this, by the way. If only they would do what I want them to do, it would work. But they're obviously thinking the same thing about you. They're like, if only she'd fucking leave me alone and let me get on with whatever I'm, you know. So that's where the conflict comes. So you've got to realize, and it's the, God, it's the hardest lesson ever. It starts with you and it ends with you. It is about you. Sometimes it means this isn't working. I'm going to spend some time looking at myself, getting really under what this is about, looking at my behavior, looking at how I'm showing up. Sometimes when you do that work, and it's hard because when clients come to work with me, I have to sometimes say to them, especially clients who are in a relationship, I say, look, before you walk, before we go any further, you need to know this. I am interested in the bigger picture and I'm not going to bullshit you. And when you go through this process, you kind of essentially will connect to an energy that wants the best thing for you in the long term. And sometimes, and not just sometimes, most often that means there's going to be short-term pain, long-term gain. So sometimes that means you have to break up. You don't have to break up, but that's what happens. Like you just come to that place where you go, this isn't right for me. And I need to go into the scary, you know, what I call the void, where all the magic is, but it's fucking terrifying going in there. But you have to spend some time there to come out the other side and to have a relationship that will blow your mind, which is the experience I've had. And it's about taking that risk and being brave. And really, this is about like, what do you want? What do you want? Do you want to have a long-lasting, amazing relationship, or that you know has the chance, you know, really the opportunity to sustain itself and grow and evolve? Because if it's not growing and evolving, like there's nothing there really. We as Tony Robbins always says, human beings are happiest when we're making progress. So do you want that, or do you just want to, you know, keep it quite easy and small in the short term, but know that like it's not going away. That niggle is there. That niggle is there and it is not going away. So there is, you know, anyone who goes on this journey is extremely courageous. And it doesn't matter whether we're talking about relationships, career, whatever, anything in your life, following the path of your authentic truth and what really would light you up and bring your soul alive is not for the faint-hearted. It's scary, but fuck me, it's worth it.
So I know my listeners, I know my people really well, and all of them at this point are going, yes, Persia, I'm in, you know, I've already said yes, I'm willing, I'm courageous, I'm brave, I'm ready, but tell me how, and like, what do I have to do to get this relationship? And my answer to that is always going to be, stop focusing on the how and focus and like, get really clear on what it is that you want and then be it. But I'm really intrigued. If I were to say to you, I'm ready to do this work, I'm totally in, I'm getting clear on what I want, what do I get, what do I do next? Like, how does it happen? How do I make it happen?
Okay, so I'm going to give you, like, this, again, this is not going to sound like the sexiest answer, but again, it's been my experience, not just in my love life, but in every area of my life. Yeah. You've kind of said, so halfway there, the first thing is commit.
Yeah.
Now, commit, like, again, I would say to clients, you want a committed relationship, but you're not willing to really commit. What commitment looks like, and this is not sexy, but it's true, time, energy, and oftentimes, at least some money of like, I am going to put something down to show that I'm serious. I used to be the person who, and to be fair, like, I was a broke actress, and then I was moving into another career, and I got really into self-development, but I was doing like rooting around for everything free. And free is, you know, there's so much value and it's great. But when you want to, like, when you want to really go deep and really, really make a big, big shift, I believe in working with someone. Whether that is, you know, you do what you can. Commitment looks at different depending on where you're stood. Because at the beginning, it might be like, I'm going to buy that book. That's the level of commitment where you are. The yeah. next stage might be like, okay, I'm going to read it and I'm actually going to do the exercises. Because yeah. that's all I can afford at the moment. And that's fine. So it's not about you've got to put down 20 grand. That might not be, that eventually you probably will get to that point where you do, I find in my experience, it's like investing more and more, not just money, but yes, money, but time, resources. It's because you're growing and evolving and stepping up your game. Yeah. From that book, the next stage might be, I'm going to buy a digital course. And I'm going, and because it's the accountability of showing up and doing the work, the next stage, you know, might be, I'm going to work one-to-one with someone where there's an actual, so this is it, the how, like, I have a program, for example, which is really deep and really intensive, no stone left unturned. So people can, you know, I give loads of free stuff away and the people get loads of insights from it. It does not get people the same results as the people who invest and actually either get me as a coach or do my digital program. Yep. So there's different, and you'll know this, like there's different levels and it just depends where you are, but you've really got to like, and it's, again, it sounds icky to say it, but I really believe it. You've got to put your money where your mouth is. That money might be a fiver, but do something that makes you feel that you're going to be accountable and step up. Go to someone who has been where you've been and who has got what it is you say you want, because otherwise you're just fucking stabbing around, whatever the word expression is, in the dark, kind of guessing. And I have done that. I did that initially with relationships. I did that with business. I've done that so many like times in my life. When I have got serious results, it's because I basically got support because I didn't know what I was fucking doing.
Well, and I agree. I mean, I agree so much. And I just wanted you to say it because they've heard it from me 100 times. But more than that, it's like, it's that sailor thing that you're saying, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so my people are all misfits. We're mostly sailors, right? Let's yes. be honest. Yeah. And the thing about being a sailor is, you have a tendency to follow the sun and not be in one place long enough. But if you really want something, right, mm-hmm. if you really want the treasure, then you know that you can be like all in, right? Like mm-hmm. how many, you know, we can stay, we can commit, we can go after that treasure. We just have to want it enough.
Yes.
And that's the thing. It's like you, once you've decided you're in, once you've decided it is treasure, right, it's valuable to you, if we take mm-hmm. that analogy further, then you will find a way to commit.
Yes.
For most of us, my feeling is that doing one thing at a time is also really important, because otherwise yes. we're like, you know, I'll put some energy here and some here and I'll yes. work on that. And actually you don't then have the capacity to go really deep, and it's actually a layer of self-sabotage.
Yes.
Spread ourselves too thin and do too many things.
Yes. Once. Yeah. Well, you know what a good thing with that is? At any sort of, I guess I work kind of seasonally, like I quite like splitting my year up into quarters, which kind of go with the seasons, and you know, you can look ahead and go, you can plan, but often, you know, best laid plans and all that. But just connecting in and feeling like, what season am I in? What does commitment, what is the one thing that right now I feel intuitively called that I need to commit to more? And most of the time it's the thing that we go, I'd rather not, and there's something that's a little bit not as scary that we're like, I'll commit to that. But it's that one thing that goes, no, that's where you need to commit. And if you know, your audience will know this, because they will have a good connection with their intuition. And then it is, okay, honestly, it's look around, who is the best person? And you will be brought to that person if you believe in intuition and guidance and synchronicity. Go, who is the person, or what is the sort of form that can best support me with that? Again, it might be a book, it might be something bigger. There's so many different ways that it can look, but you will start to be brought that when you go, right, I'm scared, but I'm brave. Like I had an example of this yesterday when I really identified, this is the thing I need help with now. Mm-hmm. I can't do it alone. I've been trying to do it alone. It's not been bloody working. And I thought the person came into my mind, haven't spoken to them for ages. They rang me. Like, you know, you're like, okay, I've got the message. You yeah. will just be shown it. It's as simple as that. But yeah. it's when you're brave enough to go, okay, I'm going to commit. And I thought, I'm going to call her. I'm going to send her a message later. And then she called me. It was bizarre.
Perfect. So if people, we've run through our time, if people want to come and find you and find mm-hmm. your program and like just connect with you, where's the best place for them to go?
My website is PersiaLawson.com. So everything will be on there. I'm Persia Lawson on all social media, very active on Instagram, loads of free content everywhere. So yeah, you can either just slide into my DMs. You can send an email to us at info@PersiaLawson.com. I'm fortunate. I mean, it used to be a curse having a name like mine because everyone would go, oh, you're Persia. Now I still get a few of them. I tend to get a bit more, oh, you're Persia. But there's no other Persia Lawson. So yeah, you'll find me very easily.
Fab. We will put all the links in the show notes anyway, so you can click through. Will you do I'm an Adult But with me?
Yes. Oh my God. I don't even know. Okay, what do I just say I'm an adult but? I am an adult but I honestly, I can't even believe what I'm about. This is so embarrassing. I don't know why I'm saying this. I'm an adult, but I still talk, I'm going to vomit, in baby voices an abnormal amount of time to both dogs and sadly to my boyfriend. It's so embarrassing. I can't stand it, but I can't stop it.
I love that we just got you to admit that. That's fantastic. What is it about that baby voice?
I don't know. Do other people do that to their partner? Like, I kind of get it with dogs. I'm actually very codependent with dogs. Like I want one so much, it actually pains me. I love them, but I do like, I'm like where all my codependency was in relationships, I kind of do it to, I like suffocate dogs with my love. I probably need to look at that. If you know anyone who like deals with like codependence with dogs and people, please send them my way.
Okay, absolutely, I will. What's mine today? I am an adult, but I think I want a relationship. I know I want a relationship, and yet there's still that part of me that's like, but it's so much fun when it's just me. It's like, it's so much easier to make decisions. It's so much easier. And like, that's it's a belief I'm working on right now. It's so much easier to be single.
That's very interesting.
Isn't it?
It is. But actually, do you know what? That's a really great place to be in a lot of ways, because you're not in the like, I need it. That trust me, that's easier to shift than I desperately need one and want one.
Well, I flip. It depends where I'm at. I can't believe I'm saying this live on here. I am 99% of the time so walking my talk and having healed my codependent, tendencies, let's say. I would not say that I am a recovering codependent. I really feel like I'm a healed, you know, person who, and then there's like one, maybe 2 days a month where I'm like properly codependent, where I need external validation, like you would not believe, and have to sit on my own hands. And it's 2 days a month, you know.
Well, you're doing better than me then. But sad thing is, when you're aware of it, you're like, oh, for fuck's sake, here we go.
and I literally have to sit on my hands, or if I get drunk, check my phone the next day and then apologize, right? Like, yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that with me. I think everyone can relate to that. Everyone can relate to that, but not many people admit that. So, yeah.
Thanks.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing, so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time.